Our speakers today are the following: Henry McGovern, Mark Chandler, Chief Financial Officer, Piotr Broniński, Finance Director, Dorota Dmowska, Investor Relations, and myself, Mateusz Sielecki, also Investor Relations. We'll start from the presentation. We'll comment on the summary of Q4 2008. In the second part of the teleconference, you will have a chance to ask your questions. Okay, over to you, Henry.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Starting with the presentation, our strategy slide hasn't changed in a long time, so I believe everybody's seen that. I won't bother to go through it. We continue to execute on the strategy in Central Europe, and we'll continue to do so. So let me jump to the next slide, which is the executive summary slide. And unfortunately, we start out with a negative comment here, which is not in keeping with AmRest's positive energy core value, but it does recognize a significant mistake that was made through our investment into Sphinx. As it says here, this was a big mistake, and it weighs very heavily on our results. Piotr will talk more about the write-off we've decided to take against this, the reserve we decided to take against this, but it's a very unfortunate situation. It's one we will work on with the existing creditors and shareholders of Sphinx to try and improve. But we really stepped into a situation that we did not expect there, and that has been publicized extensively, so I'm certain all of you are aware of it. In terms of the European business, I'm sure we'll have multiple questions at the end in terms of the impact on the world economic crisis on our performance, though currently the European business continues to trade well. What we saw throughout 2008 was an improvement of our EBITDA margins, as we communicated early in the year. When the results were lower, we predicted a 13% EBITDA margin, and throughout the year we improved towards that, reaching that number, and we continue to see strong EBITDA performance currently. The U.S. Restructuring, I had communicated previously that that would take approximately three quarters. We are staying with that. Most of the restructuring in terms of personnel and restaurants has been done, and so we will expect to see that work through our P&L through Q109. In terms of top line sales, we continue to see a weakening there in low single digits. That has basically been the case for the past 6 months, and we do expect it to continue at the moment. In terms of financing capability for the company, we closed our club deal. Piotr will speak more to that as well. That restructured our short-term debts that we have and has locked us into a facility and has provided some additional capital for growth. Another big worry on everybody's minds, obviously, is the big FX swings that we've seen across Central Europe. AmRest was relatively well prepared for that, and we expect that the overall FX environment that we've experienced here in the last couple of quarters to be neutral to AmRest performance in 2009. The next big headline grabber these days is Russia, and Russia is turbulent, but it is expected in AmRest to exceed our 208 performance. We are still seeing same-store sales growth there, so we are seeing some weakness on the transaction side, but we have responded with a value promotion and also implementing some of AmRest's best practices in the Pizza Hut business. So the alignment and taking advantage of AmRest's scale is showing results in the Russian business, and so we do expect to continue to see strong performance in Russia and to actually beat our 208 performance, and I'm speaking in zlotys, to beat our performance despite the Russian ruble weakness as well. If we flip to the next slide, what you see there is just an update on the number of restaurants in total at 420 restaurants. The first Burger King opened in the Czech Republic and opened extremely well, and so we're happy about that one. Three restaurants added and three restaurants closed so far at the beginning of 2009, and we've continued to execute on our strategy of single branding, getting rid of some of the old heritage two-in-one locations that date back to the beginning of the brand in Warsaw, Krakow, and Gdansk. Overall, obviously, 2008 saw a significant addition of restaurants, mainly driven by the 104 restaurants in the United States, but also a nice net addition of new builds in Europe. Overall, that led to significant sales growth. Obviously, 94% is driven by the U.S. Number. And I think the other important item here is that in Europe, we were able to grow sales by 30% in 08 versus 07. So even without the acquisition, we saw significant growth, same-store sales growth, and additional new unit builds. Also, 2008 was remarkable from the point of view of better aligning our balance between QSR and casual dining, with 56% being in QSR and 44% now being in casual dining. So let me turn it over to Piotr to get into some of the specifics of the finance, and then we'll come back around for Q&A.
Thank you, Henry. I guess it is a bit challenging to speak to Q4 results, as they carry a lot of big one-offs, and one of them was already mentioned by Henry. This is an impairment of Sphinx investment. But starting from the top line, as shown on the slide number 7, we still enjoy pretty dynamic sales growth. As you can see, it went up by 94% versus Q4 of 2007. It's worth mentioning that not the full amount of the increase stemmed from the U.S. addition. Around 30% of the growth was generated by adding new stores and same-store sales in Europe. So that's a very important message when it comes to our economics. On the gross profit level, you can see that it went up significantly. We posted 43.9 million gross profit on sales, so this reflects the condition of our operations. In terms of a margin, it went down a notch. We went down to 9%, and this is driven mostly on adding the U.S. business. As mentioned a couple of times, U.S. business has different economics with slightly higher payroll and other restaurant expenses, so adding that and consolidating that in Q4 of 2008 diluted this margin a little bit. When it comes to non-operating activities, a lot of issues to be discussed here. As you can see, relative to sales, our G&A costs are pretty much in line with Q4 of 2007. Nominal increases driven mostly by addition of the U.S. business and growing the scale of the business, though we also need to be aware that in the fourth quarter of 2008, we consolidated in full our supply chain organization. It used to be our affiliate from October last year. It's the company that we have full control of. So a part of nominal increase of both G&A and other operating income can be directly attributed to that. When it comes to one-off gains, we posted a gain of around 6.8 million zlotys in Q4 related to the sales of real estate. These were real estate pieces located in Warsaw and in some other parts of Poland. And finally, when it comes to impairment, you can see 33.9 million loss in Q4, and this is mostly driven by the write-off that we took on Sphinx investment. Apart from Sphinx, there's around 6 million zlotys impairment related to two Rodeo Drive restaurants that we decided to impair because they were not delivering on our profit expectations. All in all EBITDA of Q4 at the level of 44 million, so quite quite healthy, very much in line with what we posted in the third quarter of 2008. When it comes to financing activities, as you can see, our net financing costs are going up. This is mostly driven by higher amount of debt that we have in the business. When it comes to bottom line, you can see the negative net profit of 17.8. This translates to 1.2 negative zlotys per share as compared to 56 groszy last year, so a significant swing here. Now, moving on to the next slide, unfortunately, we cannot present to you the detailed economics and P&Ls of European and U.S. business. To large extent, is driven by constraints that we have in our franchise agreement, agreements where we are not supposed to reveal any details. Anyway, we'd like to share with you some guidance on where cash is contributed. We're now exposed to different geographical areas, so it's crucial for us to understand where the pillars of this business are. As you can see in Q4, in Poland and Czech Republic, we enjoyed very healthy EBITDA of more than 15% on average, so nothing changed significantly here. We continue strong. Very soft results from Russia in Q4 related to startups of Moscow business. We acquired a couple of more units in Moscow, and also we need to write down one investment in St. Petersburg that we canceled. All in all, the cash EBITDA of the business is still around 8%, and although the environment is very turbulent, we think that 2009 will be in a position to even slightly beat 2008 performance. When it comes to the U.S. business, it's obviously well below our expectations. It contributed only around 4 million Polish zlotys of cash in the second half of the year. Q4 was negative, as you can see, and the reason it was negative is that we took a lot of restructuring provisions related to the changes that we made in the business. Those restructuring one-off costs are estimated at the level of $500,000. So all in all, as you can see, European business is still strong and expected to be a major pillar going forward. When it comes to full year profit and loss account, I think that the majority of tendencies were discussed. The full year EBITDA of the consolidated business was at 150 million. Net finance cost, same as in Q4, went up to 12.1 million, once again driven on the back of increased debt. And that's it. We closed the year with a bottom line of 22.2 million zlotys, and Sphinx write down was the biggest negative contributor here. When it comes to balance sheet, I think the major thing that we need to mention here is debt restructuring. As Henry mentioned, in December we managed to close the deal that refinanced a significant portion of our debt and has given us some more funds to grow. What's important, we managed to extend the terms of the deal, and we now borrow more long-term money as opposed to the bridge financing that we had in place in Q4. So we can see a significant shift between short-term interest-bearing liabilities and long-term interest-bearing liabilities. When it comes to assets, you can see a significant increase in goodwill year over year. It's driven mostly by adding the U.S. business and some additions in Russia. Sphinx is carried at the level of around 30 million once we impair that investment. And on receivables, it is important to note that we had around 15 million of receivables related to real estate sales that we did. Going to cash flows, I think what's most important here is net cash from operating activities. As you can see, it's significantly higher than EBITDA. to large extent it's related to FX swings that we've faced in Q4. Local currencies in Central and Eastern Europe, and especially zloty, has weakened significantly, which helped our cash flows, and that helped, first of all, the valuation of our U.S. business. There's around 45 million zlotys of positive FX impact here. As you remember, we put around $60 million in U.S. business around mid-2008. When we're doing that, the dollar was at around 2 to zloty. The end of the year, the rate was 3, so there's a significant benefit here. When it comes to investment, acquisitions of 145 are directly related to Applebee's acquisition in Moscow units. When it comes to new openings and renovations, our investment was at around 178 million. All in all, the negative free cash flow was financed by adding the external debt. On financing side, you can see a lot of swings. You can see repayment of more than 370 million. This is related to club deal that I mentioned. We repaid the majority of our borrowings, and we put a new facility in place. When it comes to slide 12, this is just a recap of all that we discussed. Probably, what's worth mentioning when you see and you look at the trailing 12-month numbers, you can see the net debt EBITDA of 2.7. You need to remember that this is calculated off of historic EBITDA base. When we would take the future run rate of a business, the leverage would go down to levels of around 2. So summarizing, we've had significant one-offs in Q4, and the impact of Sphinx write-off is very much reflected in our financial statements. European business is fortunately doing still well, continuing strong, so this spells overall good for the future, and we believe that with our debt restructured, improved liquidity, we're positioned well to weather the economic turmoil that we have. So, that's all for finance. Back to you, Henry.
Thanks, Piotr. Well, it's really a tale of difference between our core markets and our new markets and new brands. So I think it's appropriate I share with you a goal that we have internally for this year, and that is one where we expect every brand in every country to beat prior year. That is a goal taken in light of where the economies are and the critical importance of cash in this environment. So we have put that in place, and I think that is the most important aspect of the future outlook or growth outlook, as this slide is called, for any of the brands or businesses. We have noticed a slight slowdown in Poland and Czech, though we expect those businesses to continue their strong performance. The business is continuing to trade well, and our different input cost lines are in okay shape, obviously, with some negative impact of the exchange rate hitting rents and a couple other lines, but for the most part, being weathered through the P&L. In terms of FreshPoint and Rodeo Drive, no update to what's been said prior there. They continue to make improvements, as you could have seen on the slides where we talk about the different input of countries and brands, but not to the level yet where they reach our expectations for further investment. Burger King, we are open in three countries and continue that development. Starbucks will be opening soon in Poland. It has taken a number of months longer than we had hoped, mainly driven by real estate issues in Warsaw and the policy of opening the flagship location before opening secondary locations. Applebee's, I mentioned this already, continues to see same-store sales declines in low single digits, and overall is, from a P&L perspective, I think working through the challenges pretty well. There are a number of new menu items coming out that are enhancing the menu, and overall being part of the largest casual dining system in the U.S. is supporting it well versus what we see in some other brands. Sphinx, we've talked about extensively. There's a shareholder meeting on Wednesday. And so I think we're getting close to having some definition here as to the future, but I don't have it for you on this call, other than to repeat the disappointment, obviously, and the error we've made there. Bulgaria continues to trade well, but is small. We have good numbers in Sofia and not so good numbers outside in the secondary city. Serbia, we have one restaurant that continues to do very well, and they are looking for additional sites, though currently we do not have anything. And Russia, we have held back a bit there until we get clarity in terms of the direction of the crisis there, but the core business is trading well, and the introduction of a value menu here in the last few weeks has proven to be very well received by customers and gives us a good outlook for the market. That said, you know, all of this put together, where are we investment-wise? It is very turbulent times, and we thought as a management team that we would in March review the overall business and try and set a clearer direction forward for our investments. I believe that's been pushed back to June because I don't see enough clarity in Central Europe at the moment to define an investment strategy. So we are moving forward with our existing pipeline of sites and being very cautious with capital investments beyond that and beyond the core markets until we have greater certainty as to the direction that the crisis is taking. You know, I want to make sure that it's underlined that that is not done because of any uncertainty in the core business at the moment. It's really driven by the uncertainty of reading the tea leaves of the external market at the moment. So what we'd like to do is now open it up to questions.
Thank you, Henry. If you have any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer them.
Hello, it's Marcelina Havralok from Erste Bank speaking. I've got a few questions concerning your P&L for Q. First of all, about Sphinx. Why don't you show the loss of 33% of Sphinx profit in a line, you know, for profit loss of associated companies?
Yeah, I may answer that. You're very, very right, Marcelina, here. Technically, we should recognize the one-third of the loss that Sphinx business generated. We decided to take more simplistic approach here in our consolidated financial statement, though we believe that what's the baseline in our presentation is that we should show the true value of the business. What we're definitely clear about is that the business is in very poor condition, and it's not worth the money that we paid for it. I mean, whatever net loss we would recognize in the shared profit line, one way or another, it would need to be adjusted to the full, you know, amount of impairment that is derived from our, you know, impairment testing that we did. So it was a hard discussion, and we've considered a lot of scenarios, but we decided that it's prudent to show the write-off in Q4, given, you know, the whole discussion that is in the media around things. So that would be my answer to that.
Simply, we decided to take more on that line than just our 33% would have equated to on the share of minority interest. So we believe that the impact of Sphinx was even worse than 33% of their consolidated earnings.
Okay, but it seems, at least from the things you wrote in the report, is that the line of impairments, it's just this 27.7 comes from revaluation to the current market price, current meaning the end of December. So it's, from my point of view, there should be additional loss for associated companies.
I think that you can...
I just don't get why you don't do both.
Well, we could write off the whole $60 million that's invested, and it may come to that point. I don't think we have enough information at this point to determine that the company is that far gone. It might be.
That's the first summary, Henry, yeah.
Okay, then it's probable that it will be corrected in the yearly report?
No, I think you have to wait and see what happens between the shareholders in the next few weeks to determine what the likelihood of a full write-off on our investment there is or not.
Marcelina, you still need to consider that Sphinx is a cash business and could be turned around if we were to control it in full. So that's really a judgmental estimate here, that the amount of impairment that you should take in Q4. We believe that we took a prudent approach and written off more than we would need to.
Okay, then I've got another question for your G&A cost. That's pretty high level, and I guess it comes largely from the U.S. business. And I want to ask whether it's, let's say, the average G&A cost per quarter that I can assume that every quarter it will repeat, or it's somehow consists of some one-offs.
The answer here is also very simple. You are right, the majority of G&A increase is attributable to the U.S. business. There's a huge portion that came from the U.S. in Q4, though Q4 is not representative of the future. As we mentioned, it carries a lot of one-time costs related to restructuring. So that's my answer here.
And could you please state the number which is related to the restructuring?
It's $0.5 million.
Okay, and if I may ask, then for other operating income, this 11.7 comes solely from supply chain management?
No, of course there's a regular other income that we have in our business. Those are mostly disbursements from some of the suppliers that we get. Supply chain contributed significant portion of that on the top of...
Could you say the exact number?
I can't give you the exact number right about now, though it's the range of around 3 to 4 million zlotys.
Okay,
supply chain income, we've reversed some impairments taken on Pizza Hut and Fresh Point restaurants, the impairment that was taken in 2007. The reversal, according to accounting rules, goes through other operating income as well. So a part of the high number of Q4 is related to that as well.
Okay, I see. And the last question for the 4Q. For financial cost and income, that's just interest cost and FX differences, FX gains and losses, or there is anything else?
It's mostly interest and FX losses. As you can see, those two lines, they offset to a large extent, but we needed to present those FX swings separately. So you're right here.
Okay, and then talking about FX, and you wrote on slide number 4 that the current FX environment is expected to be neutral to your 2009 performance. But I want to know about the situation in rent. Then if you say it's neutral, how come?
Well, neutral would mean that we expect to have as many gains as we do losses. So we have hedged some of the currency at the beginning of the year, and we have benefited from our hedge. And we lose from, obviously, positions of rents. You must remember on a lot of the rents, though, that we pay a base rent or a percentage of sales, whichever is higher. So in a number of our cases, the rents don't actually kick in because we are still paying a percent of sales because our sales level is higher than the base rent. So it has a muted impact on our business.
And could you please state the number, the percentage of your terms, of your rents, which is in foreign currency and which is in Polish zloty?
We trade in so many different countries. You're only asking me about a specific country. I need to just make sure I can.
In a CE.
Well, how many are euro-based?
Both euro and dollar. Just the FX exposition.
Gosh, I'm gonna go with around 20% by the time you take out the percent based ones. And a number of those are being renegotiated as we speak, so that's why I'm struggling to give you a exact number there. But it's not going to be significantly off from what I just said.
Okay. And last question from my side. Talk about the crisis environment and the external situation influencing your business. And then what's your expectations towards same-store sales growth, both in CE and U.S. for this year?
Well, we don't give same-store sales numbers, as you know. We don't give same-store sales numbers roughly. The U.S. we gave because I think it's such a material issue for everybody to understand the investment we made there, and so we're trying to give guidance there beyond what we would normally do. We've said that it is declining at low single same-store sales numbers, and we do expect that to continue. And I say we expect it to continue because I think it is almost impossible to give guidance on the U.S. business positively or negatively. I like what we're doing internally as a company in the business, but the external environment in the U.S. is very difficult. I also like what Applebee's corporate is doing, but it's impossible to give guidance on what the U.S. is. So we would expect it to continue. In Europe, we continue to see same store sales growth, and we like the way the markets are trading at the moment, but it's hard to read the tea leaves of what's coming.
So could you please comment on the first few weeks of 2009 in terms of sales and the comparison year on year?
Yeah, we're happy with the way business is trading. And as I said, I believe on the first slide on the front page there is that the business continues to trade well. And I also said that we have seen it weaken a bit from where it was at its peak.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess these are all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have some other questions?
Well, maybe me, Łukasz Wachełko, Deutsche Bank.
Hey, Wojtek.
Hi, Henry. How do you do?
Good.
I've just one simple question about the profitability. Your target is 15%. For some quarters now on, you're just on the Polish and Czech market being close to it. Going forward, should we expect that the current levels of profitability around 10%, 90% should be sustained, or should we expect any, are there any, well, reasons to drive the figure up or low?
I think the guidance that we gave is that we would expect things to continue. I would actually expect the U.S. to be slightly better, but in general, I think that we would not expect a deterioration, as our goal for 2009 is to beat last year in every new market and every brand. So we should see improvement based on that line of reasoning.
And, well, I feel like the question will rather remain unanswered, but I have to ask it. Looking for the communication from your side and also from looking at the way you've booked things in your 4Q results, I would presume that it's quite probable that you will sell your stake and things and go away to cope with your own problems without fighting with fixed ones. Am I correct that it will be one of the potential outcomes of that, or you will strive to make things a good company?
I'm afraid you're right that I can't answer that, as you knew when you started. But we will be very quickly here providing public announcement as to our intention, to make sure that our intentions are clear to the marketplace. I think that's all I can unfortunately tell you at the moment.
Okay, fine.
We're going to work as quickly as we can to make sure that everybody's clear on our intentions, though.
If you have some other questions, please ask them.
Well, let me say, go ahead. No? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Sorry? Go ahead.
No, it's feedback. It's feedback.
It's feedback. Okay, I'm sorry. We're getting feedback on the line. So thank you, everybody, for joining, and we appreciate it very much.